Thank you for just hanging with it. One of the men told me what a nice idea to display how to cook a normal weekly breakfast. And so these wives are learning a lot of skills, and so I appreciate the motel helping them that this is how you do it every day. Brother, it's kind of good. We don't eat like that every day. This would be the largest conference of any kind in America, and so that's a blessing. We're looking in Matthew chapter 5 for a moment, and I hope you'll forgive me for not turning to a lot of pages in the Bible. We have quoted a good many verses, but in Matthew 5, just want you to see this passage as we start. Matthew 5, of course, is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Some people believe the greatest sermon Jesus ever preached, and preached it in about 12 minutes. And people ask pastors, how come you guys can't preach sermons like that? The answer is, we're not Jesus. That's why. So Matthew chapter 5, and here we go. Jesus addresses about 13 issues, and he ends up, the conclusion is, the wise man built his house on the rock, foolish man on the sand. If you want to build a storm-proof life, you need to have these 13 areas taken care of. And we're just going to look at the first one. It's interesting. The first one Jesus addresses is in Matthew 5:21, issues that have to be dealt with. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Kind of interesting, huh? Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, rememberest thou thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift be at the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled. The first issue he deals with is anger. If you put the letter D in front of anger, you get danger. It is prevalent in men, this thing of uncontrolled anger. Someone calls anger the destroyer. If you've ever been the recipient of someone's unreasonable anger, you know how it's destroyed relationships and respect. If you're the person who has carried that heavy weight of temper and out of control anger, you know the destruction that you have left through the years. All you have to do is read the newspaper, turn on the news, look at a sporting event. We have road rage. People killed on the road. We have school fights. We have parents killed at Little League games watching their children. We have boxing matches where the fans start jumping in the ring. We have gangs. We have rap music. We have riots. We have murders and all these things. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to anger is of great understanding. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Grievous words stir up anger. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Nothing destroys relationships and respect like out of control anger. Nothing destroys it. Some people, next blank, get angry. Some people are angry. I got in the elevator one morning, and I spoke to the man in there. I said, good morning. And he said, it's not a good morning, and shut up. Well, I realized I did not provoke that. Some people are just angry people. Anger is a tool. It's kind of like a hammer that hits things. Some people bring that. Well, let's find out. How many of you somewhere own a hammer? You own a hammer? Okay. How many of you, it's in a toolbox or it's in your garage right now? How many of you, it's in your pickup truck? Okay? Now, my question is this. Why don't you have it on you? I mean, if you own it, where is it? So here it is. Anger is to be a tool that is used for a specific job. It is not something to be carried around everywhere we go. See, a man who has anger issues, he brings that to work. There's tension and anger and outbursts at work. He brings it to his church, and he brings it to his marriage. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't think we were supposed to be angry. Well, ask God. That's one of his character traits. Jesus went to the temple, flipped over the money changers' tables.
He said, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. God did destroy the whole world with a flood one time. I think he must have been a little angry. He did burn up Sodom and Gomorrah. He must have had a little anger. But the Bible words it this way in the book of Psalms. It says God made a way to his anger. So here's what God does. Anger is in his tool chest. He is love. But when he needs to get angry, very on purpose, he walks over, picks up the tool of anger, uses it, puts it back, walks right back over here, and God is love all over again. It's a tool. The little boy asked his mother, he said, Mama, how come when you drive, everyone's nice, and when Daddy drives, everyone's a stupid idiot? We are not to be soon angry. We are not to be with the angry. And we are not to be long angry. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Quick illustration, we'll give you the point. With a lady in our church years ago, and her husband had come out of a life of drugs. Basically, they had drugged it all up, spent all their money, living under a bridge type life. And they got saved. They got clean. They started serving God, started soul winning, started singing in the choir, serving the Lord. 5 or 6 years they did. One day she called me and she says, Pastor, I opened the drawer today and found a bag of dope. I cannot believe my husband is back using again. She said, Pastor, we came out of this and now he's bringing us back in. What should I do? I said, well, here you go. As soon as he walks in the door tonight from work, I want you to be in the kitchen and just hold up that bag of dope. And I want you to scream as loud as you can, Honey, this is what I found today. And then I want you to open the cabinets to the kitchen. And with every sentence, I want you to smash a dish on the floor. We are not smashed. Going back, smashed to this lifestyle, smashed. I will not let, smashed. You take our kids, smashed. We're not doing it, smashed. I said, I want you to break every dish in your kitchen. Pastor, I said, you want to live under the bridge again? You want your kids to go to hell? Okay. About 6 o'clock, my phone rang. It was a very humble husband. Pastor? Yes? We're needing some help. I walked in the door, my wife went ballistic and broke all these dishes and screaming. It's not like her. I said, why would she do that? Long silence. Pastor, I need to talk to you. It was a tool. She didn't use it on him. She didn't smash him. She just broke the dishes. It's a tool. Parents have to use that tool. There comes a time when you put your game face on, your kids are misbehaving, go to your room. Anger. You don't spank them out of control. You're angry at what they did. Get this, once the spanking ends, men, it's not to go to your room with no supper. No, that's not how God does. He spanks us, hugs us, forgives us, and it's over. And he never brings it up again. We pastors from time to time have got to use the tool of anger. We can preach on God as love, but sometimes we're going to preach against sin, and it's that game face, and it's that smashing of the dishes. And when church is over, it's, hey, man, good to see you. How'd your kids? I mean, you're not smacking the members as they go out the door. So it's a tool. So what are the sources of anger? Where does this come from? And we could take probably an hour. We're not going to do it, little audience participation. I could ask you, what's the most unreasonable thing you've seen someone do when they were angry? And we could tell story after story. I was eating at McDonald's one time as a teenager, and I saw this boyfriend and girlfriend have an argument outside the window. Pretty soon she goes ballistic. She starts hitting and kicking his car, putting thousands of dollars worth of damage in her boyfriend's car. A man in our church was living with his girlfriend. He got angry during an argument, picked up his cigarette lighter, flung it at her, hit her right in the eye. She lost her eye. He got 5 years in prison because he couldn't control his anger. People die. Anger, uncontrolled anger, is one step away from murder. That's why I'm glad in California they outlaw you carrying, you cannot carry hand grenades in your car. There's plenty of times when someone cut me off in traffic and then shows me their IQ, holds up, you know, the number of what their IQ is. I'd love to just say, oh, really? God bless you. Let me help you meet your maker. We all have that. Okay, let's keep going. So, sources of anger. Where does this come from? Number one, pride. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. Here's a great statement here. Anything better than hell is bonus. I said that in a church service one time. This boyfriend and girlfriend sitting together, older people, and they were fighting and feuding all the time. I saw him say it to her. I said, anything better than hell is bonus. He looked at his girlfriend and said, you're better than hell. If you got a car that doesn't crank, it's better than hell. If you just got laid off from your job, it's better than hell. If your wife doesn't cook breakfast every morning, it's better than hell. Anything's better than hell. Mordecai did not bow down to Haman, so he erected a 75-foot scaffolding to hang him. King Saul was angry at David and carried that javelin with him everywhere he went. It comes from pride. Number two, pain. Pain. Jesus gets off the ship, the country of the Gadarenes, the maniac of Gadara. He's cutting himself, not committing suicide, cutting himself. By the way, all those cuttings, here's where it comes from. Someone has had deep pain as a child and was too little to stop the perpetrators. So the cutting phenomena today is adults saying, I decide when I hurt. No one else tells me when I hurt. I decide. Johnny Depp, the Pirates of the Caribbean, says every year on his birthday, he puts a brand new deep cut on his arm. That young man was hurt deeply as a child. Michael Jackson, hurt as a child. Dad just squeezed him out. He said, all the surgeries I had were so I would never look one thing like my father. Pain. Jesus gets off the ship. The maniac says, are you here to hurt me too? Are you here to torment me before the time? You know, people who've been hurt deeply and have pain have trust issues. If you have a wife who've been who was abused as a child, you had to work through some trust issues. Because it's like, I don't trust him because he let it happen. And that's why sometimes they don't trust the pastor. It has nothing to do with his preaching. It's they have been hurt. There is pain. There's an inner anger in them. Pain. Number three, parents. Monkey see, monkey do. As is her mother, so is the daughter, Ezekiel says. Jesus said, my father works, I work. Like father, like son. We learn anger from our parents. If your parents had uncontrolled anger and dad beat mom, it is a natural tendency. It's not your genes. Natural tendency. Well, here's how you deal with things. Slap her around. Anger. Sometimes it comes from our parents. Number four, from punks. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. That's the games. That's where they come from. They're angry people. That's where the rap music comes from. R-A-P, interesting. Rap, we never had it in the 60s. We didn't have it in the 70s. We didn't have it in the 80s. You know why it surfaced in recent years? Because there's so many dads that have fathered kids and left their lives. So boys grew up saying, hey, where was a dad to teach me how to work on a car? Where was my dad to teach me how to build a treehouse and how to be a man and self-defense? And where was he? What was so bad with me that he had to leave and never wanted to know who I was? And that's who we're dealing with. In our youth group in Napa, 90% of the teenagers do not have original parents. Most of them do not have a dad. So we're dealing with people who are angry. Where does this anger come from? Next, sometimes preaching. Acts chapter 7, Stephen preaches. The people got so mad, they gritted their teeth and they gnashed on him and stoned him. Pastors, let me encourage you. When the members start picking up stones, go out the side door. Sometimes the preacher will preach and step on your toes and say some things you don't want to hear. But if it's truth from the Bible, man up and take it. I used to get a note from one of our men. He was one of those just old World War II type fellows. I preach a hard message. I could always count on getting a letter in the mail from him the next week. It would say, "Dear Pastor, keep up the good work. We needed that. Tell us how it is. Preach like that every Sunday. La 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 la." You know, some of you ought to do that when your preacher turns the heat up a little bit. It's not always easy. Just come on, we can take it. Come on. You want to do that. Sometimes people get mad at the preacher. Next, provoked. Provoked. You've seen fights in junior high and high school. Some of you were in them. It always starts with a little shove. Excuse me. Provoked. Bible says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged," or to wrath. How do we as men provoke our kids? Sometimes by yelling at them. You want to use your voice. The quieter, the more serious, not the louder. You want to be under control. How else? Expecting perfection. Maybe you were a Marine sergeant. "Hey, I want a coin to bounce off of your bed when you make," and your child's too. Let up a little bit. Next, by comparison. "How come you can't be like your brother? He makes straight A's." Because he's not his brother. They're all different. Every kid has different interests and leans. Next, pressure. Pressure causes anger. Sometimes we overcommit. Sometimes our natural tendency is to start projects late, so we're always behind and the pressure's on us. When we're under pressure, we can get snappy. Number next, porn. It's interesting. Pornography, a man is looking at pictures or video, but he cannot fulfill his desires. He cannot sleep with that woman because in many cases she doesn't exist. And if she does, he'll never meet her. That builds up tension and frustration. They have checked on mass murderers in American history. It's interesting. Most of the time when they go to search their house or apartment, it is filled with pornography. Well, how does this play out in the Bible? Sometimes when we're hooked on pornography, we do what's called overkill. David sleeps with a neighbor, covers it up. So now there's tension. And so when he hears the story of the man that killed the little pet lamb and barbecued it and fed it to his friends, instead of David saying, according to the Old Testament, he has to pay fourfold, he said, "Kill the man and make him pay fourfold." It's overkill. The only way any man ever gets victory over pornography is to get a friend to help him. And you're not a pervert if you have fallen into this. But it doesn't get better on its own, men. It gets worse. It goes from women to children to animals. There is no bottom to sin. They've got all kind of apps today, PureEyes.com, Covenant Eyes. They have apps that you can put on your devices that every time you check a website, answer a phone, make a call, all your activity goes to your wife or your pastor or whoever you decide. No one's going to look at porn and think, "Man, the pastor's going to know that. Well, forget that." You say, "Well, that's kind of weak." No, that's smart. That's just smart. What else? Prayerlessness. The Bible says in James 4:2, "Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not because ye have not, because ye ask not." Ask is the word for prayer. We have wars with people because we're prayerless.
Then I'll give you this last one. This we'll switch over now to the respect notes in your booklet. If you have those there, why would a man get angry? Sometimes because they're possessed.
We had those Islam people hit our World Trade Centers. Their last words, Ali Akbar, we love Allah. They were demon possessed. Ram those planes into those innocent people. We could go on and on and on about murders and so forth. There should be a little section, just section on respect, maintaining respect. Is that there somewhere? Okay. Last page, someone said. Just want to give you these highlights here. What time are we out again, Pastor Tool? 10. Okay, 15 minutes. Thank you so much. Okay, let's look at this. So sometimes we're disrespected and that causes anger. One of the greatest needs and desires a man has is respect. And sometimes we'll use that term, you disrespected me. Respect has to be earned. It cannot be demanded. You can lose respect in just a moment that took you 20 years to get. But you can earn it back. Respect. I was in a store. I was soul winning with our assistant pastor years ago. We went into this little mom and pop type store. And so I gave the fellow a tract. We had just bought a soda. I'd just given the guy money for his business. And I said, hey, why don't you invite our church sometime? And he took the track. Leans over to the garbage. Drops it in the garbage. I just bought merchandise from his store. If you don't want the track, don't take it. If you throw it away, don't throw it away in front of me. He drops it in the trash, right in front of me. I said, pick it up. I'm the pastor. I said, pick it up. Pick it up. I said, you're going to reach down in that garbage can and pick it up. My assistant pastor said, Pastor, it's not worth it now. Let's come on. Let's go. Yeah, there's some people around here. I said, you're picking that up. You hear me? You're picking that up. The guy just kind of stared. And something happened. You know, I went into this kind of choke thing. I started reaching for the guy's neck. We're leaving, Pastor. We're leaving. I felt disrespected.
Okay, let's keep going here. So, how do we maintain respect? Several things quickly. Number one, insist on being called by your title. That means if you're a Sunday school teacher, you're not Joe, you're Brother Joe. You're not Eric, you're Brother Eric. Bus kids and so forth. Now, don't do that to your wife. It's brother husband. You know, these new evangelical pastors, they want all the members to call them by their first name. That is never good. Amen. Number two, be a hard worker. You want respect at work? Be the hardest worker at your job. Get there early, stay late, keep your hands out of your pocket. Don't just be talking all the time. Be a hard worker. Number three, keep your promises. My son was 16 years of age, and I told him that week, I said, Friday night, I'll take you to any restaurant in the area you want to go to. He said, okay, Dad. Well, I forgot about it. I get home, it's a late day. It's like 9 o'clock at night. I am wet. I stragger in the door, and my son says, Dad, we're going out to eat tonight. I said, oh, yeah. I said, where do you want to go, Jonathan? He said, Claim Jumpers. Big all-you-need steak place in our area, about an hour drive. And it's Friday night. It's going to be a two-hour wait. No reservations. I said, okay. Push me through the door. And I drove in there, and we waited 2 hours. I think we got our food close to 11 o'clock that night, maybe close to midnight. Almost drowned when I fell asleep saying the prayer. My face went in the soup. I said, why'd you do that? I made a promise. My word and respect for my son was worth more than my sleep.
You got to keep your promises.
What else? Number next. Go through your trials. Go through your trials. When Brother Wilkerson's son was killed in that car wreck, the nation watched him go through that. I watched him at the funeral as he had his wife arm in arm as they came up to the platform and they sang. I just sat there saying, how are they doing this? You wonder why the crowds came to see the Apostle Paul? He'd been snake bit, shipwrecked, stoned. The Bible says Job's three friends came, sat down, and watched him there. Why did they come and watch him? He just buried 10 kids. Sometimes God sends you men through horrific trials so someone who normally wouldn't watch, they're now paying attention. Pat's the Pirate lost his eye to cancer. Someone drove by his house, big, beautiful house, South Carolina. Someone says, man, I wonder what that cost. Someone said, an eye. How do we maintain respect? Quickly, dress sharp. We're not talking about today. I know it's casual and things like that, but you want to dress sharp. Don't wear that Snoopy tie every Easter. Dress sharp. Our kids ought to say, that's my dad, or our wife, that's my husband. You don't want to look sloppy all the time. Next, that's why I always wear a suit to church. I'm the pastor. In California, a lot of pastors don't even wear ties anymore. I'm still in a suit. Why? I represent our church. You know one thing I'm going to hate about heaven, Brother Crane? I'm going to hate it. We're all wearing robes. Men, dresses for all eternity. It's killing me. It's killing me. You know, the one thing I like is, Ralph, what you going to wear today? Robe. What you wear? Robe. We'll never have to change. Women is going to kill them. You have my outfit on. You have my outfit on. Bunch of white robes. Next, self-control. That's lust. You know, when we're in the mall and half-naked women are walking by, our sons aren't looking at the girls, they're looking at dad. Our talk, our spending, self-control. Next, have courage. How do we gain respect? Have courage. I still remember as a little boy, my dad wasn't that big. He was 5'6", he said. We were sitting at this restaurant, and Mom, Dad, myself, and my brother, I was maybe 8. And there was a table of men, probably four or five men sitting over here. And right in the middle of the meal, my dad gets up, he comes over and says, fellas, my little family's over here. I'd appreciate you not using those words. 5'6". He said, what did you think? And I thought, my dad's about to get whipped. I mean, the whole restaurant went quiet. We sat back down, and things kind of quieted down, and they kind of got a little rambunctious. And I didn't know all those words that they were using. I'd never been around some of you men, and so I never heard of them. And so pretty soon they got rambunctious. Dad gets up again. Fellas, did you understand what I said? I mean, stop it now. He came back to the table. My dad grew 10 feet tall. In my eyes. That took place 53 years ago. And I still remember it. Sometimes you're going to have to display courage. If you try that and you get beat up, don't call me. But I'm just saying that's what my dad did. My dad had connection. Number 8, don't speak before you have their attention. We're talking about your kids. Get their attention, speak. Number next, confront. We'll cover that in the next section. Confront. Next, send scorners packing. You cannot let one child in your home that's making fun of you and undermining your authority, you can't have them stay. One bad apple ruins the whole bunch. You've got to deal with that. they cannot, whether they're teenage or not. They may think it. They may think you're nuts. They cannot say it.
And then last, if you lost respect, apologize. So we had this men's softball game at our church, Memorial Day. We golf. I golf one time a year. Oh, I hate golf. You can't kill it. You can't eat it. So once a year, Memorial Day, we have a softball game. It's just choose up softball. We do not play other churches. I'm glad we don't. You know how we men are. Boo! Your church stinks! Can you? I mean, there would be riots in the stands. The pastor from the other church gets up and, boo! You're a mother! And, oh, wow! So I always get up and give a little pep talk. I say, hey, amen. We're not pros. We play. This is a baseball game. This is a game. There are no talent scouts here scouting for you. We play once a year. We got guys 16 up to almost 100. So lighten up. It's a game. You understand? And don't throw the ball 95 miles an hour in the first. You're going to hurt somebody. No one's used to that if you're the pro here. So we start to play. Old Brother Baker gets up. First ball he's ever hit in his whole life. And he's running. He's running to first. The guy picks it up, supersonic, and Brother Baker's pretty close. Out! I said, nah, he's safe. And he's real close. Hey, it's Brother Baker. It's Brother Baker. And this guy, he's out! I said, look, it was close enough. Let him be on the bat. He's good. All right, next batter. Pastor, he's out! I said, look, man, it's a game. He's out! Baker's out! I said, well, that's pretty much. He said, that's what's wrong with this church. You guys don't even know how to play baseball, and you won't play by the rules. And I can't stand this every year. He throws his glove down, stomps off, gets in his pickup. That afternoon, he calls me. Pastor. I said, This brother so-and-so. I said, you mean the guy that made a fool of himself in front of the entire church? Yep, that's me. What do you think you ought to do? I said, I can't make you do anything. I said, but you have lost respect from your kids. You've embarrassed and humiliated your family. I gave you a little speech. Didn't you even listen? What are you thinking, man? What should I do? I said, do what you want to, but you need to stand up in front of the whole church and apologize if you ever want to have an inkling of respect again. They found him run over by a church bus 62 times. Worst case of suicide, they said that ever since. Anger. Learn to use it just as a tool. Don't carry it everywhere you go. Let's get some help.